I now call Aki Amandrit Sergis from St. Tikhon's to give a presentation on our monastic life.
Thank you, Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Your Beatitude, members of the Holy Synod, beloved fathers, brothers, sisters, mothers in Christ, glory to Jesus Christ. My name is Father Archimandrite Sergius Boyer, and I am the 16th abbot of St. Tikhon's Monastery, America's oldest Orthodox monastery, founded by St. Tikhon of Moscow in 1905. His Beatitude Metropolitan Tikhon appointed me to this position in the fall of 2008. And since then, we have seen many positive changes both in the monastery and the church. I have been a monastic for almost 17 years and in my current position for nearly seven. And I must say that restoring St. Tikhon's Monastery has been one of the most difficult challenges I have ever had in my entire life. Nor could I have ever imagined how hard it would be. But by the grace of God, we currently have 15 fathers and brothers at the monastery, and our life is good in the Lord. Together in cooperation with our benefactors, we have renovated and repaired all of the buildings and structures on the monastery grounds. We currently have three fully functioning churches, three houses for monastics, which number 21 cells, an icon studio, a wood shop, 10 beds for guests, a museum of Orthodoxy in America, maybe the only of its kind, a bookstore that is doing well with its publications, iconography projects at churches, monastery wine and candles, etc., a wonderful relationship with the seminary, which continues to help prepare priests to serve our Holy Church, a monastery parish community with 15 catechumens currently, a full liturgical cycle where vespers, matins, midnight office, hours, and liturgy are served without fail every day. Thanks to God and the hard work of the monastics and to two of our special benefactors, in a short time from now, we will have paid down our inherited $1.4 million mortgage to currently a debt of $650,000. This is no plug, but if you would like to help with this, I would offer for a point of clarification that it's not a good thing for the National Monastery Church to have a mortgage on its 300 acres. It's just not good. If something happened to me, or if there was an interruption in the administrative process, if we missed a couple payments, that large portion of land, which belongs to the church, the national church, would be put in danger. God has been very good to us, but the way has been very rough, and your support is still imperative, because the truth is that a healthy, strong St. Tikhon's Monastery will help to influence and provide a context for a healthy national Orthodox Church in America. And I ask you a simple question now to help you consider the place and importance of monasticism in our church today. Do you enjoy and sense the peace, the blessing, and the love that is given to you in the person of my bishop and my confessor, Metropolitan Tikhon? Do you sense that God is with us in a real way in his leadership and his person? I offer for this for your consideration. He is a direct product of St. Tikhon's Monastery, and that starting as a simple novice, history will show that he is the first metropolitan of this Orthodox Church in America that began as a lowly novice, cleaning sinks, toilets, cooking, directing, serving in whatever capacity he was asked, just as he serves in that same humble way now. I offer to you the product of monasticism, of a life of prayer, of humility, and of our church's first and oldest monastery, the Monastery of St. Tikhon of Zadansk. We must ask ourselves, what is monasticism? Why is it important? And what is its place in the church? We live in a society which is deeply influenced by Protestantism, the rejection of kings, priests, and monastics. And yet, the most imperative goal for any monastic is to be obedient to the gospel, to live his life as far as it is possible in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to show forth Christ in his own person in very truth. The monastic life is the fullest life asked of us in the gospel, nothing more, nothing less. Monastic life is not a commandment, but rather a calling from our Lord, who said, if you wish to be perfect, sell what you have and follow me. There is only one Lord, there is only one gospel, and there is only one way for all of us that leads to the kingdom. The task for all of us is to continue to put God in the very first place in our heart and our life. Again and again, day by day, moment by moment, we are all called, both monastics and married, to live with an uncompromising commitment to the Lord and his gospel, and to carry the cross that our Lord has given each one of us. Is this easy? By no means, but with God, all things are possible. To me, monastic life and married life are not opposed. We both have families, we both have heads of those families, and we all need to work out our salvation, our common salvation, in the midst of those families. As a monastic, I will never, ever ascribe to the understanding that the difference between monastic life and married life as an us and a them, but always, always we. Many of you know me well, and I consider you all with great love to be a part of my family. We have one common life in the church. We have one common life of prayer, one common liturgy, and service to varying degrees according to our ability and to our place. However, we are all called to live 100% for our Lord 100% of the time. And do we fail at this? Most certainly. But do we keep trying? Absolutely. The most important thing that monastics have to offer the world is prayer. In fact, the main work of monasteries is the ceaseless prayer for all mankind, both living and departed. This kind of prayer for all cannot be quantifiably valued or even understood in its true import. St. Silouan tells us that this kind of prayer keeps the world going. And he says, quote, when real prayer fails, the world will come to an end. He reiterated that when there are no more men and women of prayer on the earth, the world will come to an end. And he says that, quote, because of these people and their prayers, God preserves the world. And all of us are all right because of their prayers. St. John Chrysostom reveals the true content of the narrow way which all Christians are called to embrace when he explains, quote, you certainly deceive yourself and are greatly mistaken if you think that there are one set of requirements for the person in the world and another for the monastics. The difference between them is that one is married and the other is not. In all other respects, we will have to render the same account, for all are called to reach the same point. And this is what throws everything into disorder, he says, the idea that only monks are required to show greater perfection while the rest are allowed to live in laxity, but this is not true. End quote. We all must diligently strive to build the inner temple in our hearts which God wishes and longs to dwell. We must all continue to attempt to do everything that we can to make our relationship with God the very first thing in our life. And this, of course, means that we need a life of committed prayer. A devoted and consistent rule of prayer is an imperative necessity for us all. And everybody in this room, whether priest or lay, we all need to read the gospel, the words of our Lord, every single day without fail, to reread and to read over and over and over again, so that they might become the sole law of our life. Without prayer, we will not and cannot actualize the promises of the Christian life. The state of monasticism in the church today is small but growing. When I went to the monastery just 17 years ago, there were few choices. I would like to add a little story. It might take a little bit of time, but I remember when I called St. Tikhon's Monastery, and one of the fathers picked up the phone, who I love him to death, but he's departed since now. And he said, "Hello?" And I said, "Yes, I'm wondering, what is life like there?" And he says, "I don't know. We work, we pray. What do you want?" I said, "Well, thank you. Goodbye." God bless him. He taught me so much when I finally arrived. He was the gatekeeper on the phone, remember, Metropolitan Tikhon? Every parish in our... Well, you know what I'm talking about. Never mind. So there were a few choices, but today the number of monasteries and the quality of them continues to grow. How then to expand the mission of monasticism in the church today? So I offer 3 points for your consideration. The first is that we should never, ever, ever discourage someone from either understanding monasticism or pursuing a potential monastic vocation. I personally leave people absolutely free to make this discovery for themselves, because if God is not calling them, it will become obvious in time. However, I beg each of you, whether priest or layman, never disdain or discourage any vocation, whether to monasticism, priesthood, or any other kind of service in the church. It is a very personal matter between that person and God. If we don't understand why someone would want to pursue a monastic vocation, it is better to say little and direct them to someone else who might be able to help them. And as we teach at the seminary, it is not about having all the answers, but rather knowing where to find them and who to direct people to. The more we understand about monasticism and gain an appreciation for it, the better equipped we will be to be a point of encouragement for such vocations. Secondly, it's very important for us and for others to make pilgrimage frequently to monasteries, which are oases of spiritual refreshment. Support for monasteries comes not only by sending donations, but even more importantly, we must come and see. Our modern perspective does so little to help us appreciate just how important pilgrimages are. But once we go, we will more than understand the value of such an undertaking. Encourage pilgrimages to monastery in your parish community, taking day trips, overnight trips. Treat yourself to the hospitality and the therapy that is available for you at the monastery. Those of you who will make this effort will be able to testify that what I am saying is absolutely true. It brings life and light to the soul, inspiration and strength to our heart, and hope for us in the church as we continue to carry the cross of ministry. I always remember one monastic telling me, they said that the monks endure hell so that when people come, they can receive heaven. Third, monasteries remind us just how important prayer is, not only for monks, but every one of us. The liturgy needs to be served on Sunday for the people, but ideally it should be served one day outside of that time for the priest's own personal spiritual well-being. We must be deeply committed to our Lord through our internal and external life of prayer. This life of prayer is an imperative necessity, not only because it is our salvation, but it also joins us in a unity of spirit with the monastics who make this their primary ministry and work. If we want to understand the monastic, we must become men and women of prayer, real prayer, deep prayer, committed prayer, persistent prayer, tearful prayer, holy prayer that quenches our parched lips in this God-forgetting land. We join together in this prayer every time we enter into the church, and the more frequently we attend this school of the liturgy, the more we will be able to enter into this mystery of our life in Christ and understand to some degree the reality of our Lord and his kingdom. St. Theophon tells us to begin prayer as if we have never prayed. The only real rule of prayer that we must ascribe to is to begin again. To begin again, everyone must build this temple for the Lord in their heart. It is the inner vocation of every Christian. Outwardly, we will all do different works and be in different circumstances, different places concerning our vocation, but we will continue this work of prayer together if we are striving for our salvation. It is obvious that indeed monastics and married live very different lives, and yet there is only one model for us all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those who are married cannot pretend to be monastic, and those who are in the monastery cannot pretend to be married. However, both of them can and must commit themselves to be 100% like Christ 100% of the time. Many are called to live the married life, to live a holy, godly life, raising God-fearing children, to be good Orthodox Christians. This is a very important ministry. Likewise, some will be called to the monastic life. In imitation of the angels, they will live a life with the help of God's grace, which is an image and an icon of the world which is to come. But in either case, we must be faithful to what God has called us to, whichever it is. The state that is highest, the highest one, is the state that we are called to by God to live with all of our strength, striving always to remember our Lord and his commandments. There can be no arguing the success of monasticism. Sainted monastics fill our church calendars. They line the walls of the church. They have formulated and preserved not only the church's doctrine, but also the treasury of the liturgical life. Monastics were even the first, as we know, to bring Orthodox Christianity to America in 1794. We, as members of Christ's body, can and must support the building and growth of monasteries and monastic vocations. And by so doing, we will invest in our own well-being and the preservation of our church, as well as the churching of all America and its free labor. Through the monasteries, organic Orthodox life will grow and flourish, acting like a catalyst. It will empower and inspire local parishioners to give more of their own hearts and lives to God and to prayer. Because the power that emanates from the monastery is not only real and tangible, it is intensely powerful, life-creating and life-changing. The monastery sanctifies not only the monastics, but those who visit. But even the trees, the rocks, and the very ground itself are sanctified. How often have we heard the expression, holy ground? And this statement is not unfounded. For we know that the material world, when it comes into contact with Christ's body, which is the church, it's illumined with grace, like Christ's garments were in the Transfiguration. It is said that this kind of sanctification affects the whole universe, and that when saints emerge from these habitations, in an unfathomable and yet very real way, they become a catalyst for the salvation of nations and the entire material universe in which they live. May we strive, by the grace of God, no matter what state we live, to do the same. I would beseech you, if you haven't already, make a place for us, the monastics, in your hearts and in your local community. Please forgive me. Please pray for me. Be assured of my prayers. Thank you, and may God bless you.